Hello and welcome. You're listening to the second podcast for the lecture on heuristic and informed search. We resume on slide 24. Our goal is now to show that the A-star algorithm returns optimal solution under consistent heuristics. The general idea for the proof is that we exploit as a correspondence to uniform cost search, because we have already seen that uniform cost search is optimal for non-negative action costs. And we also required in the definition of A star that we only have non-negative action costs in the description of our search problem. So now actually we show that we can construct a transformed problem, and that the original and the transformed problem have the same optimal solutions and isomorphic search spaces. And this means that every optimal solution found by A star on the transformed problem is then also an optimal solution for the original problem. So let's look at the first step on slide 25. So first we encode heuristic values as action costs. So we have given a problem with a state base as usual. Everything remains unchanged except that for the transformed state space, we change the action costs. So we take the original cost of G action, and now we subtract from it the difference in the heuristic value. So we take exactly this decrease of the heuristic function and subtract it. So remember that we actually assume our heuristic to be consistent, and we set that this that then the decrease of the heuristic function for consistent heuristics is bound by the action costs. So now actually we decrease the action costs exactly by this decrease. And since this can never be larger than the action costs itself, it means that our action costs will remain positively. So let's look on slide 26 to understand what this encoding does. Here we look at a little example where we want to find a route from Saarbrücken to Moscow. So we only have four states. We have Paris, Saarbrücken, Dresden, and Moscow, and we have actions. For example, we can go from Saarbrücken to Paris, which costs us 400, from Saarbrücken to Dresden, which costs us 650, and from Dresden to Moscow, which costs us 1950. The heuristic, so the straight line distance or aerial distance from the cities of Paris, Saarbrücken, and Dresden, are given as 2500, 2200, and 1700. So now let's look at this drawing. So we have the three cities, each has the estimate to Moscow shown in these red dashed lines, and we also know the real cost values. And now we actually compute the new cost values. So we have the original cost value of, for example, to go from Saarbrücken to Paris as 400, and the heuristic estimate from Saarbrücken to Moscow is 2,200, and from Paris to Moscow it's 2,500. So we take this difference, which is 2,200 minus 2,500, it is minus 300, and we calculate 400 minus 300, which leads us to a cost value of 700. So the optimal solution is to go from Saarbrücken to Dresden to Moscow. In the original problem, this has costs 650 plus 1,950. Equals 2,600, and in the transformed search space we have costs of 150 and 250 plus 2,200. So we have the real costs 150 plus 50, so which is 400. But when you know, you see actually this heuristic estimate from Saarbrücken, which when you add this, you get the original cost of the original action description. So here you see this transformation applied. So now we actually show on slide 27 a lemma that both problems and state spaces have the same optimal solutions. We assume that we have such a solution given in state space theta, and it's a sequence of actions A1 to AN leading us from state S0 to state SN. So the cost of the exactly the same path in theta H is shown below. So we have defined our transformed action costs. So we always add this expression here to each action. And then we actually start reformulating this a little bit. And the important point to note here is that many of these parts in this equation actually sum up to zero. So you see that if you look at two subsequent actions, then you can always take out one part, and actually this will calculate to zero here. So in fact, you can see that the heuristic estimate for each state always occurs positively and negatively, and this will now sum up to zero, except for the initial state and for the goal state. However, the heuristic estimate for the goal state is zero by definition, because we are in the goal and there is no effort needed anymore to reach this goal. So this means that, in fact, our costs, when we look at the sum of the action costs for both solutions, only differ by this single value of H on S0. And this is a constant, which is the same for both problems, because it's the estimate from the initial state to the goal state. So in this proof, we establish the following. So we have A star searching on theta, and uniform cost searches on theta H. And we look at the difference of the values that they compute for each state. So we consider an arbitrary state path that leads us from the initial state S0 to some state Sn. Now H star will consider the node or the value G plus H. Yeah. And this is the sum of the action costs for all those actions on this current path, plus the heuristic estimate of this node Sn. Uniform cost search also considers this path and is in state Sn. And now it only looks at the G value. The G values have been computed by applying the transformation. So it looks actually at the sum of the cost values for each action minus this difference that we looked or that we established in the proof of lemma A. The heuristic estimate from the initial state is a constant, so it is exactly the same for any state path that we have. So the ordering of the frontier or the open list is also the same for both, so they both will essentially, it will be determined by the value of H of Sn. And as both also use the same strategy for duplicate elimination, they will actually expand the same node. So this means they do isomorphic search steps in the search space. So let's look at slide 29 to understand the two different strategies with these different cost informations. So A star uses J G plus H. So for Saarbrücken, it has 0 plus 2,200. Then, for example, it picks Paris. This costs 400 plus the heuristic estimate 2,500 yields a value of 2,900. Traveling from Saarbrücken to Dresden costs 650. Heuristic estimate is 2,300. Is 1,700. This yields an overall estimate of 2,350. So therefore, Dresden is put first in the frontier and expand next. So we now travel from Dresden to Moscow, which costs 1,950. So this leads to now pass costs of 650 plus 1,950 plus the heuristic estimate of zero, which is 2,600. Uniform cost search on the transformed state only consider the pass costs. So we have G is zero for Saarbrücken. Now we can decide to go to Paris. The costs, the transformed costs are 700, or we can go to Dresden. The transformed costs are 150. 150 is cheaper, so we expand Dresden first. We have another transformed cost of going to Moscow. It's 250, and this leads to pass costs of 400 for the solution. So on slide 30, we are now ready to prove the final theorem, namely to establish the optimality of A star. So if H star uses a heuristic function, then the solution returned by A star, if there is any solution to our problem, will be optimal. So the proof is based on the following argumentation. So let's consider A star. It's running on the state space theta. It returns a solution rho of A star. On the other hand, we have a uniform cost search searching on theta H, and we consider all its solution in the set S. But in lemma B, we stated that both search spaces are isomorphic. So A star will return a solution that will also be part of the solution set found by uniform cost search, and the solutions will only differ by a constant cost value. We also know that uniform cost search is optimal, so this means that any element in the solution set is an optimal solution for the transformed search space. And this also then means that A star must be an optimal solution in this transformed search, so the solution rho returned by A star. And since we have lemma A, we always actually stated that both search spaces have the same optimal solutions. So if the solution rho returned by A star is an optimal solution for the transformed state space, then it must also be an optimal solution for the original state space. We have seen that A star nevertheless requires exponential effort and memory in the worst case. And on infinite search spaces that have infinite paths, it's a good idea to combine A star with depth-limited search. So we use here as bounds actually successive iterations with increasing f costs. So instead of bounding the length of the path, we simply bound the value of f costs that we consider. So we do. So we at each iteration, we use adapts for a search, and we cut off a branch when its total costs, G plus H, exceeds a given threshold. And then we, if we don't find a goal, we start the algorithm with another estimate. And to determine this estimate, we actually look at all the values that exceeded the current threshold, and we take the minimum value because we want to make sure that we actually then look deeper based on these failed estimates that we have. So on slide 32, we have this example of iterative deepening A star. Our initial F costs limit is 366. So this is simply the value of G plus H for the initial state. We do a first expansion. So for example, we can go to Timisoara. It costs us 118 plus 329. We have Sibiu with the F value of 140 plus 253. And we have Sirint with an F value of 75 plus 374. So all the F values of these expanded nodes exceed our cost limit. So this means we definitely have to run another iteration with a higher cost limit. We take the minimum value, which is the one for Sibiu, 393, and we start our search again. I leave it to you as an exercise to do the next expansions and see how many iterations of this algorithm you need to perform until you reach the goal. Slide 33 summarizes the properties of iterative deepening A star. It's complete if every node has a finite number of successor nodes and if each action has positive and finite costs. It is also optimal. The first solution found has minimal pass costs if H is admissible on trees or consistent for graphs. Time complexity and space exponential. Space complexity is linear because we in fact perform a depth-first search and only need to store the current pass. To conclude our direction of bidirectional heuristic search algorithms, let's look at the basic ideas of bidirectional search. So the idea is that we do not start from in the initial or start state and then somehow fan out to the goal, but actually start from both states. So we have the start state given. We have one or several goal states. We pick one of these the goal states, and then we actually start two simultaneous searches. One searches forward and the other backward. And we hope that actually both searches meet in the middle at some intersection state. Because the motivation is, of course, very obvious. So in all cases, we have an exponential search effort. So we usually search to b to the power of d. So if we could actually cut this off by half, then we would have an exponential saving in terms of the number of nodes that we need to expand. What algorithm we use for the two searches is not so important. We can even use two different algorithms and pick the ones we like. But of course, the trick is that we need to make sure that they find each other on some intermediate state. So the goal test here is not that we have reached the goal state, but we would actually always test for the two searches if they have an intersection state. And ideally, this happens at d divided by 2. So let's look at some example. So here we pick a breadth first search for the forward search, and we pick depth first search for backward search. So we are in the initial state A. Breadth first search starts and expands the level D, C, and B. It may then first search into B, and leading to E and F, from where it cannot continue. Then it expands C, it's also a dead end, and then it goes to state D. In this time, a backward search with a depth first search will, for example, from K go to I, from I expand G, and then also expand to state D. So in this example, both algorithms would meet in state D, and the solution is then combined from the paths A, D, G, I, K. Of course, it's very, very difficult to guarantee that both really meet in the middle, and also that the composition of these two partial solutions really yields an optimal solution. So for many decades, AI researchers could not really find a good way how they can guarantee the algorithms to actually meet somewhere in the middle. And only very recently, in 2016, a paper was published that actually can guarantee this. And the idea is that we look at the search space and structure the nodes based on an estimate how near or far they are from the goal. And we also estimate the distance from the initial state. So we have nodes, for example, that are near the start, far from the goal, or we have nodes that are near the goal, but far from the start, for example. And the NN set of nodes are at the midpoint of optimal solutions. So they are near the initial state and they are near the goal state. So now you probably wonder how you can actually classify the states. The idea in this paper is illustrated on slide 37. So the algorithm uses a star in both directions, and it uses an admissible so-called front-to-end heuristics. So this estimates the distance from some node N to the target of the respective search. So it estimates from for the forward search, it estimates the distance from the node to the goal, and for the backward search, it estimates the distance to the start or initial state. So let D for U, comma V be the distance from state U to state V and V, and this is in fact the cost of a least cost path. And of course, then the optimal solution cost is a D from start to goal. So this, because this is a least cost path from the start state to the goal state. And now we can define when a state is near the goal. A state is near the goal if the value of this path from the state S to the goal is half of this optimal solution, and it's far from the goal otherwise. And for the start state, they're actually making a more complicated three-way distinction. So here we have near to start, far from start, and remote. So these ideas can be worked out a little further, and this helps that the two searches actually meet in the middle. However, the properties of this algorithm are, let's say, kind of good, but also on some hand disappointing. So we can guarantee that the algorithm is complete. So the first solution found has minimal pass costs if H is admissible and on trees, or if it's consistent on graphs. This also means that the algorithm is optimal for non-negative action costs. Yeah. And for admissibles or consistent heuristics, it will actually return these optimal solutions. If there exists a path from start to goal and its heuristics are consistent, then it will never expand a state twice. However, our hope of establishing an algorithm that actually can have an exponential reduction in the search time is not satisfied by this algorithm. Slide 39 summarizes now the properties of heuristic algorithms. So we see greedy best search uses only the heuristic part of the function f. All other algorithms use g and h costs. And they are all complete. All algorithms that we looked at need an exponential time to search. A star and greedy best first search might also need an exponential space. Only iterative deepening A star uses linear space. Only A star and iterative deepening A star are optimal under certain conditions. So if we have positive and finite action costs, and if we use consistent heuristics, for example, when we search on graphs. But the same also holds for the MM, bidirectional search algorithm, but we do not know anything about its time and space complexity. Some better algorithms or algorithms that have also guarantees on time and space complexity have been found recently, but nevertheless, bidirectional search remains an active area of research, and so far no really powerful algorithm that would take us to a new class of problems that we can solve has been found. So with this, let me end this podcast.